Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. If you followed the election last year on these airwaves, and frankly, I'm not sure how you could have missed it, Sam Sanders was a tireless voice from the campaign trail. Now the NPR host and reporter is launching a new hour-long version of his podcast and show called It's Been a Minute. Sam Sanders, welcome to The Roundtable.
Thanks for having me.
So what was your idea for how this show would sound?
Oh gosh, I mean, the idea took several months to take shape. We started piloting the show in NPR One, NPR streaming app, in February, just after the inauguration. After a few months there of trial and error, we made it a podcast, and I was going to become a full-fledged hour-long radio show. And bits and pieces have kind of come into place through that whole process. But at the heart of it all and the root of it all is trying to have conversations about the news where we just talk things out and where we know that our listeners are living in a very complicated world with lots of stuff going on and lots of headlines to keep track of. The goal for this show is to be a space where my listeners and my guests and I can just talk through all of the noise, you know? And a lot of times that means we sometimes have more questions than answers, but we do it together.
Have any advice on how to talk through the noise?
Well, I think the biggest thing for us is trying to look at the news in a holistic way and trying to look at the news in a way where we ask how it feels, how it makes us feel, how it makes us react. You know, by the time people are listening to public radio on the weekends, they've seen the headlines, they've seen the tweets, they've seen the language of that bill or the photos of that new celebrity kid. What we're trying to do is connect some of these dots and ask some deeper questions. And so we're bringing together not just great NPR voices, but great journalists from throughout the country, as well as listeners who are very informed, and some longer form interviews with newsmakers and artists and thinkers and writers to do that. And so all of what we're trying to do with this show is have really smart conversations that can kind of thread the whole Newsweek together for you, if that makes sense.
Is it a challenge? And, you know, I'm speaking here from a newsroom where we feel like we're always a little bit slower than the news cycle at this point in time. Is it a challenge to make sure that you don't fall too far behind?
Oh, yeah. I always tell folks when I'm prepping to tape the show on Fridays, Thursdays kind of feel like I'm cramming for oral exams. there's so much to wrap your head around in any given week. So that's a constant challenge. But I do think that already, you know, in this news year, there are some recurring themes. We can see some trends that are pretty straightforward in the way that Congress and the president have been behaving, in the way that our politics has been hashing itself out throughout the country. There are some constants that we can acknowledge. And our goal with the show is not just to tell you what happened right now, but to say, let's put this in perspective.
There's also going to be a pretty hefty, you know, pop culture part of your program. Why was that important to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, my beat during the election, besides covering Bernie Sanders and other candidates.
Yeah,
after
Sam
that,
Sanders, no relation, was a famous
that
line.
That was me. Yeah.
How did that start, by the way? Do you mind if we take a little tangent here?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, I basically was just like, oh, this would be funny. Let's try it. And then I did it. Everyone's like, oh, that stuck. You know, but I wouldn't do it every Bernie Sanders story. I would only do it on the lighter Bernie Sanders stories because there were some stories where the mood of the piece was just serious and I needed to be a little more serious. Like the piece I did when he dropped out, I didn't, you know, end with that little punchline.
Do you know if he found out about that?
I was on the Bernie plane a lot,
yeah.
And they knew me. I never really dealt too much with him. I dealt with his staffers, but I'm sure he knew. I don't think he cared. I don't think he cared.
Well, I interrupted you. You were saying that when you were on the trail covering Sanders, that's part of where the pop culture stuff came in.
Oh, yeah. So initially my beat was literally the intersection of culture, pop culture, and politics. And so I was supposed to be that through line between the popular culture and the politics that it helped give us. And I think particularly in light of the current election, you can't understand politics without understanding popular culture. We have a president who came from reality TV and governs in a way that is directly informed by his experience there. So we have to look to entertainment and to celebrity society to understand how he and the politics that he brings works. Like, that's a given, you know, bottom line. We're also in an age where the cultural is political. If you think back on the last year or so of music, your favorite two or three or four artists, they've spoken out about politics. They just have. We're in that kind of age. We have artists like Beyonce making full albums, it seems, all about politics. Like, so we can't talk about politics without talking about the culture in that regard as well. So my whole headspace since the election has been connecting those dots, because I think they have to be connected. And the show is just a logical extension from that. I mean, just this week, everyone's talking about protest in the NFL. That is a story that synthesizes popular culture and sports and politics. And that is just the age we live in right now.
A lot of criticism we get here at WAMC is that we're talking about the president too much. Focus on other stuff, you know, don't give every tweet the same attention. Do you feel any of that tug?
A little bit. And our show definitely juggles a variety of topics in that hour. In any given week, you're hearing us dig into four or five different topics. And the long-form interviews that you'll hear in the show, they're me in conversation with comedians and actors and directors and authors who are talking about all kinds of different things. I think one of the things that I have to remind myself of in this current news cycle is that, yeah, it is unhealthy to only consume news made by and full of the president. Like, he's not the only news story. He's obviously a very important person doing a lot of big things, but we need to understand that there's a whole big wide world out there that is still spinning regardless of what the president tweets, and our show acknowledges that.
You're doing a lot of long form interviewing as part of It's Been a Minute. What's your preparation look like?
It's kind of, you know, I would describe it as being a little stalkerish before a first date. You want to find out everything about that person. You want to know what makes them tick. And then you want to go into that conversation really, really, really seeking to form to forge a connection with them. I'm not going to call these conversations, you know, flirtatious, but like, there is a certain desire to connect, like to connect in the way that you might with someone on a date. And so like, that's kind of how I mentally and emotionally approach it. But yeah, I'm doing my research on these folks. I read everything that's written about them, or I read the book that they just wrote. I watch the film that they're in. And my colleague Brent, who is a producer of the show, we sit down the day before and say, what are the questions that we think we can ask that will forge the strongest connection in an hour and a half with them in the studio. So yeah, it's a lot. It's more homework than I thought it would be, but it is really, really fun.
Well, I did a bit of that on you. So I read that you really want to land a Kate McKinnon interview. She's an SNL star who played Hillary Clinton famously last year during the campaign. So what questions do you have for her? Why do you want her so bad?
Yeah, you know, I've been trying to book her since the campaign season. Kate, or Kate's people, if you're listening, call me.
And then call us.
Yeah. I'm really interested in what McKinnon's portrayal of Hillary Clinton means through the lens of what it means to be a feminist today. I'm a guy, so I only have I can't say what it means, but I'm really interested in how we think about her portrayal of Hillary Clinton. Was it all in good fun, or was it outlining some of the more negative stereotypes that we have about women in power? Did this parody of Clinton help humanize her or help make her seem even more not like you and I? How does someone like Kate McKinnon see herself in the current discussion about the role and place and rights of women in our society? You know, those bigger questions.
Any other dream guests that you're working on?
Yeah, you know, I am constantly amazed by Lindsey Graham's ability to just be really engaging with whatever he's talking about. Like, anytime like whatever it is, you want to hear him talk. And I think he has been at the forefront of so many issues in conservative politics for years, just most recently with the Graham Cassidy just failed healthcare reform. But he was one of the leading voices on Republican foreign affairs for years before that. And talking to him about what his politics are, but also how he manages to be so engaging in a world where people kind of want to just turn off politics so much, I think that'd be fun too.
Last question. Do you miss the trail, Sam?
No. No. It was fun. It was very, very fun, but I don't miss it.
Sam Sanders is the host of the new one-hour radio show and podcast, It's Been a Minute, and a frequent voice on these airwaves. Sam, we wish you all the luck with the show, and thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.